Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. This is your host, James T. Deshay, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I want to, and like all days, I'm just happy to be here with you with the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and an opportunity for you to call in and share your thoughts with me. And this is just a time when we cannot sit on the sidelines. There's so much going on that we need to be aware of, and that we need to make sure that we are always on guard, prepared to deal with the issues at hand. And today is no like no other. We are in a period of time that seems like our country is going through turmoil, and we have to be on guard and ready and prepared to do what it takes to keep our country on the straight and narrow. You know, you got to be very aware of who is allowed to lead you to water. You know, there's always a thing about, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you need to make sure that you don't drink when it's not the right time to drink, when you're being led to water. And that's the situation we find ourselves in right now. We have two diametrically opposed individuals who are trying to lead us into the future. And as we prepare ourselves to be led into the future, we have to make sure that we are giving the reins to the right individual. And I don't care what you say or how long you say it, you can't let me see a person for who they are, let me listen to you, and decide that you're something else. And as I sit from my chair and look at these two prospective candidates, I recognize that they're diametrically opposed to one another. I see Hillary Clinton as a person who truly loves America and loves everybody in it. And she wants to be inclusive to the point of almost being too inclusive. She wants to be right to the point of overlooking some mistakes. And I can appreciate that. I understand when someone is asking to run this nation, they sometimes have to embrace causes that may go against some of the people who are for her. Just like when President Obama went against the grain. Understand that one of the things I hate the most about this atmosphere we find ourselves in is when we disagree, there are people to the left, and then understand I'm a Democrat and I am a liberal, and though I'm all those things, I am not a racist and I'm not a bigot. And when I make statements about white America, it's because that I believe as a whole, there is a spirit of hatred that exists in white America today. And that doesn't mean all white Americans, but there is a large enough of white Americans that have such a hatred for minorities they're willing to allow us to be led to a lake of poison. And they're blinded by their hatred. And as a liberal, I see and understand why some of those white Americans hate to be called bigots and racists when they hold certain positions. And I find that being true with myself right now. And I know a lot of you have been quieted on some of your positions related to same-sex marriage, related to this now issue that we're dealing with related to restroom facilities, locker room facilities, and the such, because we're afraid that when we take a stance on a position that's contrary to a liberal left position, that we're going to be called racist and bigots, when that's not the case. The fact that I hold a position that men who now believe they are women should use a unisex bathroom or a unisex locker room, which allows a single person to use the restroom or to get dressed, does not mean that I'm a bigot or a racist. It means that I understand and feel and have a sense of morality related to other people outside of myself. It means that women have the right, those women who are being quiet, who don't want to put themselves out there, who seem somewhat afraid to have a voice, don't want a man with a penis changing his clothes in the woman's locker room because he dressed like a female. It was one thing for our country to take that position related to a bathroom where there are stalls and everybody goes into a stall. But now to relate it to the locker rooms of our high school students, our middle school students, and to adults, to say that they are bigoted and short-sighted to suggest that transgender men should have every right to go into the women's locker room and change clothes regardless of what position they're in their transformation. Now, I'm at a gym that's called 24-Hour Fitness. And at 24-Hour Fitness, they have a men's locker room, they have a woman's locker room, and they have a unisex bathroom that's big enough for a person to change clothes and be fully comfortable within that facility. So why wouldn't that be an appropriate option for someone who is transgendered without them feeling as though that they were being ostracized? I'm just not getting it. I'm just not understanding where it is wrong for people to have differences of opinion related to the laws that govern us as human beings. I recently heard where a woman who owns a floral business for years served this man daily. He was a great customer of hers, and he was constantly buying flowers and other things in her shop for years. Then when he decided to get married, and he was going to get married to a same-sex man, and went to the shop and asked her to fulfill the order for that wedding, the woman said she couldn't do it based on her religion. So here this man who had been friends with this woman for years decided that instead of going to another shop that did not have that same feeling, was wrong, he wanted to put this lady out of business because of her religious beliefs for not wanting to service him or be a part of his wedding and provide him with flowers. Now, who is the selfish person in this case? And at one point, the woman was told that if she would agree to give flowers to this man at his wedding and pay a $2,000 fine, the whole thing could be over it. And the lady said her freedom of choice couldn't be bought for $2,000. Her Christian values and beliefs could not be bought. So she's willing to have her business go out of business as a result of this man's request when he could have purely just went to another florist. And this is what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with people who are not satisfied enough with anything that they get. Whatever you give them, whatever rights you give them, they're going to be asking for something else. And those of us who find ourselves not agreeing with these terms or these situations, who have a stance or to take a stance, are threatened to lose everything and possibly jail because we don't want to make the accommodations being demanded by some of those in our leadership. We ask transgendered individuals to, if we ask them or provide them a unisex option, that option would not be good enough. They're going to require that they be able to go into the ladies' locker room not having the same organs as those women. And those individuals who are so short-sighted believe that at some point, some man is not going to take advantage of the opportunity to dress up like a woman and spend his time inside the ladies' locker room. Now, who's going to decide if he's transgendered or just a lunatic who wants to take advantage of the law that is now being trying to be created? It does not mean that I have hatred in my eyes or my heart for transgendered individual. It does not mean I'm not sensitive to their plight because I want a better way to deal with the situation. It means that I'm asking that we do something or create laws or create procedures that would make life comfortable for everybody that's involved. No man or woman, despite their position or despite their feelings about who they are, should force themselves on the majority of people who have to deal with those accommodations being given to them. And you're asking people to close their mouth and go along with the process without fighting back because you're willing to punish them to such a degree that they will almost lose everything. So if you happen to have a gym and you refuse to make the accommodations to let a transgender person go in the women's room, and you provide them with a unisex restroom, or a unisex changing area, that will not be enough. Your business can be closed, and you can be fined and destroyed because of your position. You can be willing to sell someone 100 cakes every day, all day, but not sell them cakes or provide them desserts for their wedding, and your business can be closed. That cannot be compared to the plight of African Americans. The plight of African Americans were, we're not going to serve you anything. We're not serving you anything because of the color of your skin. We don't want you in the store because of the color of your skin. That cannot be related to transgender. This woman served as a florist, served this man in every way she possibly could, enjoyed his friendship, but told him that she could not serve him in one capacity or one event, and that was at his wedding. Now she's in the process of losing her business and receiving death threats from those who refuse to allow her to have a position related to her own business. I thought this was supposed to be America. We have a caller, 3766. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Regina Williams.
How you doing, Regina?
I was doing okay until I started listening to all of this stuff that's going on.
Well, Regina, you're in the school system. You know, a few days ago, the Attorney General sent a letter to all the county schools informing them that they had to make provisions for transgender students to use not only the restroom that they felt comfortable with, but the locker room they felt comfortable with. And that goes outside of the schools into regular businesses, that not only do they want the restrooms to be open to transgender people, they want the locker rooms, so the 24-hour fitnesses and the all these gyms to be open to transgender people. Or your business will be closed and you will be sued. What are your thoughts?
I just got a tightness in my chest. This is, you know, I can understand. I believe it's the Title IX. I think it's Title IX that allows girls and athletes to have some equality there. And that's only if there is not an equal team for the girls to play on. For example, I'm thinking about when my daughter was in middle school and she wanted to play football. Of course, everything went through my mind, but I still had to allow her to do that. And they had to have although she was dressing out, she went into the girls' locker room, but since she was the only girl, they had someone there to, you know, protect her or to protect the door. They did not say that, you know, she had to go into the same facility as boys. I know that might not be the same, but it takes my mind back to that. I just do not believe that just because a person has rights to feel a certain way and to exercise their belief, that their personal asset should be in jeopardy. This is absolute. Where does it stop? Just like one person may have freedom of speech, don't I have freedom of speech? Transgender may want equality, but what about my desires? Does their rights supersede my rights as a citizen? And I have a right to feel safe. I have a right to feel that I can go somewhere and not have to worry about whether or not this is a crazed maniac or whether I'm safe or not. I'm just very upset now.
And, Regina, the problem is those people who fight our right to feel that way will suggest to us, well, you haven't seen anybody break this law, or you haven't seen anybody go into the locker room. There has not been any crime committed as of yet. So we have to wait until a crime is committed before we voice our opinions on the situation. You're going to suggest that a man, a woman, should be comfortable with a man coming in with a wig on and who has breasts but still have a penis, changing his clothes in there with the rest of the women just because he no longer wants to be a man, but he doesn't have the money or is not prepared to do the complete sex change. So because he has breasts and he has long hair, he can now go into the women's locker room and change clothes with her.
James, I have an issue with going to like a family reunion or maybe going to the beach or something, and all of us, maybe, you know, when we were younger and we couldn't afford separate hotel rooms, and I know when I was in college we used to, you know, just sleep all over the floor and the beds and stuff, but I would be uncomfortable with my male friends in the room with me showing their, you know, changing their pants or something like that. So, of course, I would be uncomfortable with a total stranger in the same locker room or someplace like that. That's not even someplace somebody I know. My dad didn't even walk around in his underwear in front of me. I do not like this.
And they're saying you don't have a choice. You have businesses who are saying that their employees don't have a choice. Their customers don't have a choice. Target is saying their policy is going to be that they're going to let transgender people use whatever bathroom they feel comfortable with, regardless of how their other customers feel.
So that means that we're going to always have to go in the restrooms with our children to protect them from a potential danger. And I know we do that a lot, but as the children get older, oftentimes we, you know, when they get around 12 or 13 or something, we may stand outside the bathroom and let them go on in. But I'm sorry, you don't know what type of danger is lurking in there. We don't know it now, let alone when it's legal for someone carrying a penis to go in.
Well, your state, your attorney general sent a letter to every school announcing them and telling them what the policy would have to be, or they would be in threat of losing monies for their support. Regina, stay online. We're going to go to another caller, 2730. You're out there. Give your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Audrey from Lakeland, Florida. Just joining the call, but it sounds like we're discussing the availability of a person just to decide anyway, anyhow, any day on which restroom to attend. And it sounds like our greatest concern is fear for not only ourselves, but surely for our children. And it's so unfortunate that, you know, sometimes policies are designed to protect a certain segment of society, and it leaves the remaining of the society having to make choices that they don't necessarily have to make, because I'm listening, and it sounds like that I'm going to have to start scheduling my my shopping or my restaurant eating in a manner such that hopefully I won't have to use the restroom until I return home. And that's ridiculous. You know, that is truly ridiculous. Why should I have to tailor my lifestyle so that I can feel comfortable, first of all, I can feel safe because of the fact that we're so on a path to give certain people certain rights, or at least it seems that way. Now, I think we talked about this before, and most of us were in agreement that if indeed we had to have a special restroom, you know, set aside, I think we all would be in agreement with that. But, you know, the Lord blessed us to be whatever he created us to be. And we should go by that gender, and let's live in harmony that way. And for those who are in the process of transitioning or thinking they should transition, it's not like we're saying that you should use the restroom at all, but we're saying that you can have one that's unisex, and whereas you're going to lock it so then no one will get no surprises or whatever. But that don't sound like that was good enough. So in essence, now instead of them not being able to use the restroom, now you're going to start limiting me that I won't be able to use the restroom. So what's that about?
And that's what we're saying, Audrey. We were at a point where we were just talking about restrooms. Now the president and the attorney general has said to all schools across the nation that not only their restrooms have to allow them in their restrooms, they need to allow them into the locker room that they feel comfortable with. And if you're going to mandate that, then you're also mandating that same thing to the gyms across the country, to all the 24-hour fitnesses, to all the other gyms that are available and open, that they have to let a man who walks in with a wig on, who's wearing a dress, to have access to the women's locker room. Now, there was a time when I used to, as a janitor, would clean the locker rooms of both men and women, and had to wait till everybody was out of the building and the place was closed. Now, you really want men to have access to women's locker rooms, and all they have to do to have that access is to put on a skirt and put on a wig, and you think it won't be some demented men who would do that so that they could sit in the women's locker rooms for hours and just watch?
And not only that, how many women may be in situations in which they're trying to get away from an abuser. You know, before, if we were to go to a restaurant or gym or whatever the case may be, you know, at least you would take notice of if a person that kind of looked different going in a different restroom to kind of bring some sense of awareness up. I don't know. I think we're just treading on some very dangerous grounds. And it's unfortunate, when I joined, I heard you say, you know, what will it take for someone to get injured or, God forbid, even become a fatality in order for us to revisit and see some other options we can do? So,
well,
you know, and that's
going
to position the Republicans, too, to have a party, because you have to know some people are going to put that on, you know, this Democratic government decision to do that. So,
They would suggest to us, because we feel this way, that we're bigots and we're racist. And that is not the case. And to say to me, do you have anywhere where a transgender person has committed any crime? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me transgender people don't commit crimes? That once you become transgender, you are crime free? Come on, where did that come from? So you want to say to me that across the country, transgender people have never committed any crime. And we're not necessarily talking about transgender people. We're talking about somebody who's willing to fake being transgendered in order to get access to women's facilities. So it's just an insane situation. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with a clip, and then we'll talk and discuss the next subject.
Want to relax? Check out Chill Out Jazz on FBRN.us every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 5 Central Time. It's Chill Out Jazz, the soulful mix of smooth jazz. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 5 Central Time, right here on FBRN. I've got the perfect mix to help you chill out jazz. It's the coolest 2 hours of your day. Jump in smoothly.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old room again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Remember that in North Charleston, this was a terrible, terrible crime and tragedy that occurred. And once it was revealed, the videotape, immediately that community took action. They fired the officer and they charged him with murder, which up until this point in police shootings, that had not really ever happened. So here is the mayor today talking about this step.
We think we have a good police department, but I don't think any time you're able to get a review of what you do to look if you need to do changes from someone that is sitting at a different level than you are, it helps you then to make the changes that you need to be a great police department. Okay.
Guys, I just wanted to bring to your attention that North Charleston has taken steps in order to make their police department better. And I think it's important for us to publicize those areas that are willing to take the necessary steps to make sure they have outside individuals come and take a look at their police department and their procedures to determine if they're doing things in the right manner and serving all of North Charleston correctly. So I want to take my hat off to North Charleston, even though I believe that that police officer would not have been indicted, would not have been fired, had not that videotape came up of him shooting that African-American in the back because of a traffic violation. And I just want to say, though, once they were met with the overwhelming proof of what took place that time, it seems that North Charleston has taken the steps necessary to serve all the people in North Charleston, and not just those individuals who are white. I want to support them and what they've done, and I want to give them a shout-out to say that they have taken the correct steps. And in this story, I've heard that there are a lot of other cities that are now taking the steps to have their police department viewed by private individuals to determine what steps they need to take in order to be fairer to their citizens, and how that we as citizens have the right to demand that we be policed in a certain manner. So I want to go to you, Regina. Had you heard that they have been reviewed and that they're going through the process to review their procedures and how they interact with the citizens in North Charleston? And what do you feel about that being something that is required for all the different cities to do in order to serve the citizenry in a proper manner?
Yes, I've seen that, and with everything that's going on around the United States, and with police brutality and alleged police brutality, I think Charleston, North Charleston, is being extremely proactive in this. They have a very large minority population in North Charleston, and it is not as affluent as some other areas of Charleston. Therefore, the things that occur as far as the tragedies, the shootings, they're more likely to occur there. And if North Charleston can see that they have been inspected and people are saying that they're carrying out things in a very good way, in a decent way, then if something should happen, they're less likely to be blamed and to be in fault, to be found at fault, or to be found negligent, I should say. So I take my hats off to them.
And the other thing is, any government should look to reduce the amount of penalties that they pay for the type of behavior. It is my understanding that they came to an agreement with this family to pay them $6.5 million. Now, who in the world, or what government in the world, can afford to lose $6.5 million behind bad policing? So it wouldn't take nearly that much to get your police officers retrained and to focus them and let them know the kind of behavior that will not be tolerated. So taxpayers ought to be demanding all across the country that we do something to keep these kind of payouts from going out.
And that is something that...
Audrey, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here, and I think the alternative to training, because it's not that they don't know what to do and how to do, I believe. I think until you start having consequences that goes with a behavior that's not tolerated, continue to pay out sums over and over like this. But we have to start holding people accountable, meaning the officers. And, again, if they start losing their jobs, their pensions, you know, when I was coming up, we sometimes had teachers to let a person be the one to have the example set. And you saw the penalty or the punishment that student received, hey, it stopped you from going down that same path. So, yeah, the cities and the government may be paying out all that money, but what's actually happening to the police officers? That's the reason why we keep seeing the crime that's committed by some police officers. Some are good and supportive and protective, but the ones that's kind of cocky and have the wrong attitude, they have no consequences of not doing properly. So it's not impacting them and it's not impacting their family. So they feel that they have entitlement to do so.
Well, one thing's for sure, this man has been indicted by the federal government. He's still being charged by the state government as well for first-degree murder. So North Charleston has definitely stepped up to try to make him accountable. But again, if it wasn't for that videotape, I'm not sure he wasn't been in a position to lie. Regina, you were going to make a statement. What were you going to say?
I think I was going to say that that this is going on across the country where big payoffs are occurring, And you're right. The citizens and the taxpayers are getting tired of these huge payouts going out to families and the officers not getting the punishment that they deserve. So Andrea is absolutely correct that along with the training, the adequate punishment must be handed out to stop it. Because even if you train somebody, if it is in their mentality to do the things that they're doing, it's going to occur anyway. You can train all day long, but if you have that deep down, deep centered hate, and as she said, it is definitely not all of them. I have some wonderful officers in my neighborhood. But if you have that deep down centered hate, you're going to live just the way you believe.
And we certainly can't continue. You know, money is real. And these huge payoffs are keeping them from doing other things that are necessary in our communities. I mean, how many playgrounds are we not building? How many job programs are we not implementing? You know, these are the kinds of things that are not being done as a result of having to pay these huge payouts to these families that have been hurt. And I don't have any problem against the families. If somebody had done my loved one in that fashion, I'd want to sue them as well. So they are definitely deserving of the payout. But we need to get our police departments policing us in a fashion that does not require us to make these kind of payouts because they're trained and behaving in a proper fashion.
Well, I know we have the body cameras now. We've also instituted something here where citizens can call in and rate the police officers. And they can do it on there. We can do it on our phones. And that helps tremendously, too, because that tells the police officers that you will receive someone will immediately tell you or report to your supervisor what's going on.
Well, and I think that's a big help. And I also believe that it should be told to all police officers that they don't have a standing to tell citizens that they can't videotape them doing things that they feel are inappropriate. A lot of times these police officers are grabbing phones and pushing people back to keep them from videotape them doing wrong behavior. So certainly it should go down in it should be made a part of the rights of a citizen to videotape the actions of police officers so they can be brought to the attention of their department about how they're behaving in the field. I just want to say that we're going to have to keep on topping this, and we're going to have to encourage the cities around the country to make sure that they are following correct procedures and are being told and viewed in a way that helps them to change the procedures that are inappropriate. I have one more tape that I want to play before we leave today because I want to make sure that all of my listeners hear it. So we have one more news tape that I want you to hear.
Clinton and her supporters also have their eyes on Republican Donald Trump. A pro-Clinton super PAC released its first anti-Trump ad, using Trump's own words.
You could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. Does she have a good body? No. Does she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
This morning, Trump once again unleashed on Twitter. Amazing that Crooked Hillary can do a hit ad on me concerning women when her husband was the worst abuser of women in U.S. political history.
Donald Trump has made a smart move which is don't respond to this with paid advertising. Respond to this by going on the air, by doing interviews. It's a much more genuine response.
The ad will run in several battleground states, but right now Trump's battle is with the New York Times and its investigation into the billionaire's alleged inappropriate treatment of women. Former supermodel Roanne Brewer Lane, who was quoted in the article, defended Trump.
They promised that it was not a hit piece. Clearly it was.
But former longtime Trump executive Barbara Rez backed the report on CNN.
For as long as I know him, he always had comments on people's appearances and, you know, primarily weight, male and female.
Rez is a Clinton supporter. Trump blasted the ex-employee and the Times on Twitter. The paper is sticking by its story. Kenneth Moten, ABC News, Washington.
Guys, I just want to say to you guys, isn't it unbelievable that Donald Trump would suggest that Hillary blindsided or destroyed women who were involved with her husband when he does the exact same thing to anybody who challenges him? How in the world can the pot call the kettle black? And we sit up and listen to this foolishness. This man clearly is telling us exactly who he is, when he is, how he is, and how he's going to be. And we got some people out there who refuse to listen or to hear him. I just want to say to you that until I see 100% of African Americans not supporting Trump, 84% is not enough. Until I see 100% of Latin Americans not supporting Trump, 70% is not enough. Until I see 100% of women not supporting Trump, 5 to 60% is not enough. We have to hear exactly what this man stands for and govern ourselves accordingly. It is no longer appropriate for us, those of us who are minorities, to support this man in any fashion whatsoever. A spade is a spade. It cannot be a red card. It cannot be a joker. It is what it is, and you have to accept it for it is without question. Donald Trump is not fit to be the president of the United States of America. And those who have any inkling of supporting him are taking us down a road that we may never recover from. I want to ask all of you to support our new radio show that's on, Sky Wonders, who's on after my show, and I want you to be a part of the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Make sure you schedule some time for all of our shows. They're here and committed to making a statement and providing you the opportunity to listen to straight talk each and every day. I also want to encourage you to go to my new website, JamesTDeshay.com. That's right. I want you to go to JamesTDeshay.com and tell me what you think of my new website, JamesTDeshay.com. I'm truly excited about my new website, and I want to know what it is that you think about it. Look around and see what you like. Look at all the new bells and whistles and give me a call and let me know. Email me at djames82@aol.com and call me at 407-394-9819 and let me know what you think. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is here for you to use as a vehicle for your voice to be heard, and to be heard loud and clear. You have no doubt about what my positions are, and I don't want there to be any doubt about your positions either. So this is a show to let people know what it is you think and the direction you want our country to go in. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care, and I'll see you on Thursday.
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by Arthur James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309. Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867. And Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.